Well, I got this where, we okay? Contrary to popular belief, beards are not required. Well, good morning, family. It's nice to be able to be here this morning. We can't be here and all together the way we would like, but we're staying safe. And even though it's frustrating and sometimes it's really, really annoying, just remember it's better to be safe than sick. Whenever we read scripture, I think we read ourselves into it. We bring ourselves to whatever scripture we are reading. We bring the things that we've done, the things we've seen, the things we've learned. We bring our hopes and our fears, and all those things make our perspective on scripture unique. And I'll give you an example. Psalm 23 starts, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then it goes on to say, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." And when I read that, I think of a nice green pasture, blue sky, quiet, peaceful. Maybe that's what you think of. I, however, have never tried to make a sheep do anything, let alone a whole flock of sheep. And I don't know what it takes to make a sheep lie down. Now, if you were a shepherd or a farmer or in agriculture, you may know what it takes. And so your perspective would be different when you read this verse. Your perspective would be unique to you. So hopefully, what we share together, we will each get something out of it, but it won't all be the same thing. I always believed that being a follower of Jesus should make a difference. There has to be something different about following Jesus than not following him. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any sense in doing it. Wouldn't be any sense in calling yourself Christian if there wasn't a difference. And the story we're going to look at today leads us into that, kind of helps explain what that difference is. So we're going to kind of look at it from a different angle than you would normally maybe look at it from. Acts chapter 17 says that there, things are different about Christians. It says when they went into one town, the people got together and went to the local authorities and said, "These people who have turned the world upside down, they've come here. Hide the women and children. Lock the doors. There's Christians running around here." They turned the world upside down. And I wondered what it was that turned the world upside down. What was it about Christians that was different? And so we're going to look at that today. So we're going to read the story, but I want you to close your eyes and visualize this story as I read it to you. It's from Luke chapter 15, verses 4 to 6. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep.' What did you see? What did you visualize? Maybe it was pitch black. It was pouring down rain. There was lightning and thunder. And quivering in a little crevice in an outcrop was this little wet ball of wool. And every time there was a flash of lightning, and every time there was a thunder, it was just, it just jumped. And off, not very far away, was this shepherd, soaking wet, cold, tired, refusing to give up, looking for his lamb. And there's a flash of lightning, and he sees it. And he goes over, and he takes his cloak off, and he wraps it around it, and he puts the lamb on his shoulders, and he comes home. and he celebrates. And maybe you think of that as an illustration of how God refused to give up on us. Scripture tells us that he set his face to the cross, and it was from there that he declared that our rescue was complete when he said, "It is finished." Our rescue is complete. Maybe that's what you thought when you closed your eyes and heard the story. I didn't think that. I thought about all those other sheep, the ones nobody talks about, the 99 sheep. And I wondered what they were thinking. Where's the shepherd going? Oh, didn't you hear? Fluffy got lost. Okay, but where's the shepherd going? Well, he's looking for Fluffy, because Fluffy's lost. Well, that's Fluffy's fault. Whatever happens to Fluffy, it's his own fault. The shepherd should stay here with me. He should stay here with us. We need to be protected. What are we? Chopped mutton? What about us? You know, what about what I need? Doesn't my life matter? Does my life not matter as much as Fluffy's? The one that wandered off? The one that, like, there's 100 sheep here. How does he even know that Fluffy's gone? Well, the shepherd knows the sheep by name. And to the shepherd, all sheep matter. And that's what turned the world upside down. To the shepherd, all lives matter. And, you know, 1,700 years ago, the Roman Emperor Julian, he expressed it this way. He explained the difference this way. There are no poor among the Christians. They look after each other. Not only that, but they look after our people as well. And that's embarrassing, because our people don't even look after our people. And he said this, he said, people are drawn to their love like children to cake. And Jesus said it this way in Matthew. Chapter 5. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Aren't even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that? Be perfect. Be an example of God. Don't just love those who love you, which is really easy to do. But what made Christians different, and what continues to make Christians different, is that to their shepherd, all lives matter. So the Emperor Julian, he had a solution for this problem of these Christians who were overrunning the country, the empire. He instructed the authorities throughout the empire to gather up the priests who ran the temples of the Roman gods and tell them this: start behaving like Christians. And if they won't, shame them into behaving like Christians. And if they won't, fire them. And set up space in your city for care places. Places where they can come, people, everybody can come if they need help. Set those up in your cities. Make sure everybody can get help. Because if we do it, then they won't be going to the Christians like children to cake. In other words, What the government did was to try and legislate love. And that doesn't work. And you can wear a shirt that says Black Lives Matter, Indigenous Lives Matter, My Life Matters, but all the signs in the world can't change a heart. No matter who you are or where you are, no matter what anyone tells you or what you even tell yourself, your life does matter. It matters to Jesus, who proved it at the cross, and it matters to everyone who calls themselves Christian. We love because he first loved us, not because it was legislated, but because we are motivated by his love. And that's how we continue to turn the world upside down in our circle of influence. And there are ways that, like, what extent do we need to do that to? I think that's one of the questions, like, how do I do that? And, you know, there are lots of stories in Scripture. One was when Jesus said, if you are forced to go 1 mile, go 2. And when you look at that story, excuse me, what happened was there was two types of people in the Roman Empire. There was Roman citizens, and there was everybody else. And if you were a Roman citizen of good standing, maybe a governor or a senator or military, you could basically take anything you wanted from anybody who wasn't a citizen. So if you needed clothes, you could take their clothes. If you needed food, you could take their food. If you needed animals, you could take their animals. And if you needed somebody to carry your gear, then you could conscript them to do that. You could press them into carrying your gear for you. And there's nothing that they could do about it. And that's the system that was in place when Jesus was living. And the abuse to that system got so bad that they actually had to start making rules that said you could only do so much to these people because they're going to revolt. And in Galatia, the governor sent out an edict to that extent. You can only allow people to do so many things, and you have to let them go. And that's why it says, if someone forces you to go a mile, because that was the limit in that area, then go with them too. So you've got somebody who's taken your clothes, taken your food, taken your animals, taken your time, and pressed you into doing something that you really didn't want to do. So basically you hate this person. And at the end of that, Jesus says, help them. And don't just help those who help you. Help those who need it, wherever they are, whoever they are. Regardless of what they've done to you, if somebody needs help, you help them. Why? Because God first loved us.